Cool. So, as you'll have realized now, we're learning together service today. And so we want to do what it says on the tin and learn together. So we're going to look at some difficult, possibly deep stuff today, but I believe that we can all get it because it isn't about how clever we are or how old we are or how many exams we've done. It's about the Holy Spirit coming and opening our eyes, isn't it? So that can happen right from the youngest person in this room, Karen, that's you, to the oldest person. Oh, Isabella. Isabella, you're hiding. From the youngest person in this room right through to the oldest one, who we won't point out. God can speak to us, can't he? Is that right? Do you believe that? So we pray for that now, and then we'll dive in. Lord, thank you again that we get to be here together as your people, but more than that, Lord, so much more than that, far more important than the fact that we're together is that you're here with us. And Father, we ask simply that you'd come by your Spirit, open our hearts, open our eyes, help us see you more clearly when we leave this room today than we did beforehand, and help us respond to you more appropriately than maybe what we ever done before. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being here. Just bless this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to introduce to you today this guy. It took me ages to find a picture of a little boy that looked a little bit like he was a Jewish boy from back in the Old Testament, but eventually I kind of found one. This boy, boys, don't press the buttons or you'll be in trouble. This boy is called Johnny. Short for Jonadab, but that's a bit of a mouthful. So Johnny is his name, okay? And we're going to follow Johnny on a journey, all right? I'm going to tell a few stories about Johnny. There's a bit of artistic license in here, so go with me. But there's some amazing truth in there as well. This is the story we're going to go through, okay? Johnny's journey through the Levitical offerings. Does that sound like a page turner or what, right? If I was Die Hankey, this would be the title of my next book. In case you haven't noticed, I'm not Die Hankey, so I'm not going to write this as a book. But we're doing Johnny's journey through the Levitical offerings. Johnny was an ordinary little boy, right? He was a Jewish little boy, lived with his mum and dad, didn't have any brothers and sisters at the start of the story. Gives you a clue what might happen later on. But he's a normal Jewish boy. Loves to play, loves to go to classes with his teachers, loves to do your normal things. But one day, Johnny was out. He had a next-door neighbour who had a pet goat. Now, I know that sounds a bit strange, but that's what they did back then. Had a pet goat, and Johnny loved to play, right, with this goat. He loved to take the goat out, and the next-door neighbour didn't mind. Loved to take him out, and they'd chase each other around, right? They'd play these games where they were running out in the fields or whatever, and they would chase each other around. And he loved to do that in the bright sunshine, beautiful day, just like today. And he loved to do it. And one day he did that. He went to his next door neighbor and he said, can I take the goat out? Can we go for a run in the fields or whatever? And he did. And he started to run around in the fields. And eventually they came to a place where there was like a river. And it was quite a fast flowing river. And it was running past where they was playing. And so Johnny decided, well, let's run up the side of the river. Let's go for a race kind of up the side of this river. And so they did that. And so he was kind of calling the goat after him, and the goat was running ahead of him, and they were having this race, having great fun. And it's one of those things, you know, where Johnny didn't really understand or really know what happened. But before he knew it, it all kind of happened in front of him. And he kind of tripped, I think, and he tripped over, and the goat was right in front of him. And it ended up that he tripped over, and the goat kind of kicked him in the face, which, as you can imagine, hurt, right? Anyone been kicked in the face with a goat by a goat? Benjamin has. Are you telling the truth? Have you? Yeah. Did it hurt? Yeah, I bet it did. So it hurt, and you know what happens sometimes when you get hit and you get hurt. Johnny kind of lost his temper. He lost his temper with this goat, and again, it's one of those things that happens in an instant, isn't it? And you're not sure what you're doing, and he got up and he shoved the goat, right? And unfortunately, the way he was facing, the way the goat was standing, this goat started to topple down the side of the bank and fell with a splash into the river. Where's this going, you say? It is going somewhere. The goat fell into the river. And it was hard for Johnny to watch, but like I said, it's a fast-flowing river. And obviously a goat can't stand up in the river like that, can't swim. Goats can't swim, can they? They can they? All right. Artistic license. The goat's struggling in this river, right? And eventually the goat gets kind of pulled under, dragged downstream, and Johnny never saw the goat again. And he's like, what have I done? You ever had that feeling when you just did something and you're like, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to do anything to that goat. I didn't want to hurt it. What have I done? And he was ashamed. And he began to feel guilty, didn't he? You ever had that feeling of guilt, right? When you've done something and you knew you shouldn't have done it. You were playing football in the lounge and you shouldn't have been, and you knocked something on the floor and it broke. Ever had that feeling? I never did that ever after the first 10 times. Right? You know that feeling of guilt, and Johnny's tummy starts to kind of knot up and he's like, oh, what have I done? And he's like, I can't go home. I can't go home without the goat. And so for a few hours, Johnny starts just walking around in the fields, and he's thinking, what am I going to do? Should I run away from home? I can't go back there. I can't go and tell them what I've done. But eventually, as the night began to fall, the sun began to go down, he realizes, well, I can't really sleep in the fields, can I? He wasn't a Bear Grylls type. He's like, I've got to go home. And so he trudged home slowly, still feeling guilty, still thinking, what am I going to say? And he kind of tried to sneak into their tent where they were staying, back to his little corner, and he tried to just get in there, and no one see him, but mums always see, don't they? They always see you when you're trying to sneak in. You never get past him. And so his mum looks at Johnny and says, Johnny, you've been out a long time. What's happened? And Johnny tried to avoid it, as you do. Tried to say, oh, nothing, mum, I'm fine, no problem. But eventually she got the whole story out of him, as, again, mums do, don't they? She managed to get the truth out of him, and he said, it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. I lost my temper, and the goat, and oh, mum, I wish I hadn't done it. But, and Johnny's mum looked at him, and she could see the terror on his face. She could see the guilt inside of him. She could still see that it was tying his tummy up in knots. And she just looked at Johnny and said, Johnny, do you know what you need to do? There's something you need to do now. Because that was wrong, what you did, wasn't it? And Johnny said, yeah, it was. I shouldn't have done it. Someone else's goat. And his mum said, but you know, there's a way out of this for you, Johnny. There's a way out of it. There's something you can do that will mean that you can be, not let off, because it isn't about being let off. No one should be let off the bad things they do, should they? But it's about it being dealt with. Johnny, you need to go and offer one of these. You need to go and offer a sin offering. And Johnny said, well, what's that? What's one of those? And Johnny's mum explained, and she said, well, you see, the principle is this. When you do something wrong, Johnny, you know you need to be punished, don't you? You know you need to be punished. You know that something bad kind of should happen to you because you did that thing that you shouldn't have done, right? That's that feeling of guilt. That's what that's about. You should be punished. But we can go, and we can take one of our animals. We're not rich, we haven't got much, but we can take one of the doves that we keep, and we can take it to the tabernacle, the place where God is, right? God's in the middle of our people, isn't he, Johnny? You know that. We can take this animal, and we can give it to the priest, and the priest will sacrifice it. And Johnny, it's like the animal will be punished instead of you, and you won't have to be. And do you know that feeling? Johnny's face just kind of lifted, right? And from feeling guilty and terrified and tied up in knots and, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Suddenly he thought, so there's a way out. And Johnny's mum said, yeah, there's a way out. God has made a way that, Johnny, your sin, the bad thing that you've done, can be forgiven. Just at that moment, his dad walked through the door. And dads have a way of messing things up. And dad asked what was going on. He got the whole story out of him. And he said, Johnny, that's not quite right. Mums are normally right, but this time your mum hasn't got it quite right. Mums do make mistakes sometimes. Not very often, but they do. And Johnny's dad said, there's one more thing to add. You see, there's one of these offerings called a sin offering, but there's another one that's called a guilt offering. And what that means is, Johnny, well, what you've done is taken away our neighbour's goat, hasn't it? He's no longer got that goat, and he that was his possession. That belonged to him, and so you've taken it away from him. And he said, Johnny, there's another offering. And Johnny's face began to fall again, right? He's began to think, oh no, this was too good to be true. It's not going to happen, is it? Something bad's going to happen. But Johnny's dad said, no, don't worry. You can still be forgiven. You can still offer that offering, but here's what you have to do. Because you caused that our next door neighbor to lose his property, you have to make up for that. And you can make up for that, can't you? You have to give what we call restitution. Ever heard that word? Restitution. It kind of means to make up for the bad things that you've done when you can. And we can't always, can we? And that's what the sin offering's about. But Johnny had to make up for the wrong that he'd done. That's called a guilt offering. And that's what Johnny had to offer. And what is it? To say sorry. Say sorry for the things that we do that are wrong and to receive God's forgiveness. What's going on back there? To say I'm sorry. And this is what happened. So here's the next part of the story. Because of this guilt offering, right? Because Johnny had to make up for what he'd lost his next door neighbor. I could never think of a name for the next door neighbor. What do you want to call the next door neighbor? Let's give him a name.
Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby. Is Bobby an Old Testament name?
No, but still Bobby.
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 Right. Okay. Bobby it is. Let's get back to the story. So what happened was this. Johnny, to make up for what he'd lost his next door neighbor, he ended up working in his fields. He wasn't a really rich man, like they weren't rich, but he had a bit of a patch of land that he worked, right? And to make up for what Johnny had lost him, he worked with him in the fields. And so it was hard work, but actually Johnny kind of enjoyed it. So he'd have to, at the start, he would be breaking up the ground, plowing it up and making it ready so they could chuck all the seeds in. And then he helped Bobby, his next door neighbor, throw all the seeds out into the ground, planting it. And then they'd wait, and on really dry days, maybe they'd chuck some water on it to make sure it was gonna grow. And he kind of enjoyed helping out his next door neighbor in the fields. And eventually it got to near the harvest, you know, near the time when the crops are starting to just kind of show their heads above the soil and they're beginning to grow. And as Johnny helped his next door neighbor, Bobby, he began to see him get kind of excited when he went out into the fields. I know that sounds a bit strange, but Bobby and Johnny didn't really understand it either. He was getting more and more excited. And one day Johnny said to Bobby, why are you getting so excited? And Bobby said, well, when I look at my fields, and every year I get a good crop, right? I get a good crop. But this year, Johnny, because you're helping me, because I've had two people on the job, not just one, it looks like we're going to get an amazing crop. We're going to get a massive amount of grain out of the things that we've planted. Johnny, I'm so grateful for your help. And so harvest time came, and they went out into the fields, and true enough, there was a massive crop. Loads and loads of grain that they could harvest, and Johnny enjoyed getting out his sickle, is that what you call it, and chopping it down and then bringing the grain in and putting it in the storehouses, all stored up for the rest of the year to make bread and all that. And one day when it was all done, it was all harvested, all the grain was away, Bobby said to Johnny, Johnny, I'm going to do something special today. I'm going to do something special. Do you want to come with me? He said, Johnny, I'm going to go to the tabernacle. I'm going to go to where God is, and I'm going to offer him an offering. And Johnny was a little bit confused immediately. He's like, but what have you done? Because he was still on the sin offerings, right? He knew you could go and offer a sin offering. He's like, Bobby, what have you done? What have you done that's wrong? And Bobby said, nothing. I haven't done anything wrong. This is what I'm going to do, Johnny. I'm going to go and offer a grain offering. Because, you see, and this is the original Eric Says Thanks, for those of you that know the book. Johnny said, well, why are you offering the offering? And Bobby basically said, well, do you know where this grain comes from? It comes from God, right? God is the one who's, and we've worked hard, right? We've worked hard, but God is the one who's made it grow. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had that massive crop. We wouldn't have all that grain stored up in my barns that I can use and I can give to other people in need. Johnny, without that, we wouldn't have any of this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bake. In fact, I'm not going to bake. My wife's going to bake some beautiful loaves of bread, unleavened bread, flat bread. And what we're going to do is we're going to take that bread, and though it's going to smell nice and we're kind of going to want to eat it, we're going to take it to the tabernacle. We're going to offer a grain offering. Why? To say thank you. To say thank you. Because it's God who's given us this grain. Without God, we wouldn't eat. Without God, we wouldn't have any of the good things that we have. Without God, we'd have nothing in this world. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to say thank you. The story goes on, and the next thing that happens wasn't quite so nice. Johnny's dad got called away. There was another people who were kind of coming to the boundaries of where the Israelites were living at that time. Johnny couldn't really pronounce their name. So it's just some kind of ites. It was a something ites, basically, who were coming to fight against the Israelites. And Johnny's dad had to go away and fight in the battle. And obviously that wasn't a nice thing. Johnny missed his dad for those months that he was away. And something strange started to happen. So Johnny's dad was away fighting in the war. And Johnny, every day, Johnny's mum, and it's going to sound a bit rude, but go with me. Johnny's mum seemed to be getting fatter and fatter, right? So Johnny kind of watched his mum when she was eating. And he's like, she's not gorging herself on manna. She's not eating loads and loads, unless she's doing it in the middle of the night, midnight feast kind of styling. She's not eating too much. But what's happening? So one day, Johnny was a bit less subtle than we've grown to be. He just said, "Mum, why are you getting fat?" And it's true story, not. And his mum looked at Johnny and said, Johnny, haven't you realised yet? It's exciting. I'm not getting fat. I'm not eating too much. There's a baby inside of me, right?" And Johnny's like, "What? No way. You're having a laugh, right? There's no baby inside of you." And he asked the age-old question, "Well, how did it get there then?" Right? And listen to this. This is important. Okay, this is important. He asked the question, and Johnny's mum, every time he asked it, Johnny's mum just said this: "Johnny, this baby inside me is a gift from God." Right, truth? Kids are a gift from God. They may annoy us and wind us up sometimes, but kids, you are a gift from God. Right? And Johnny's mum kept on telling him this: "Johnny, this baby is a gift from God." And so after a few months, two things kind of happened at the same time, and it was good that they did. Johnny's dad came back from the war, and he came back with some great, great stories. Yeah, it was kind of scary for him to be away, and Johnny didn't know what was going to happen, but he came back saying, "Do you know, Johnny, we went out to fight these enemies, these people who were coming against us, and Johnny, God gave us the victory. God helped us to win. There were times when we thought, there's no way that we can fight against so many people and win, but God helped us. God gave us victory, Johnny, and we're safe, and I'm back now at home." And then just after Johnny's dad got back, Johnny was kind of shooed out of the tent, and he's like, what's happening, what's going on? And after a few hours, it was pretty noisy. Johnny learned to go quite far away from the tent. But after a few hours, there was a new baby in Johnny's tent. And after those two things happened, after everything had settled down, Johnny's mum and dad came to him and said, "Johnny, we're going to do something really special today. We're going to go to the tabernacle where God is, and we're going to offer him an offering." And Johnny was kind of on the wavelength this time, because he'd kind of known about the grain offering. And he said, "Oh, is it a grain offering?" And Johnny's parents said, "Well, no, it's not a grain offering, because it's not to do with the crops. It's not to do with the food that God has given us to eat. It's going to be one of these offerings, a fellowship offering." And basically what we're saying is this: we're really grateful that we belong to the one true and living God. We're really grateful that we're part of his people. Because you see, Johnny, without him, we'd be back in Egypt, and our little baby boy and you might have been taken off us, because the Egyptians were cruel people. But God saved us. Without God, without being part of his people, Johnny, your dad might have gone away and not come back, because they might not have won the war. We're really grateful to be part of God's people, and we want to go and have fellowship with him. We want to say to him, we love you. And so, someone pressed a button. Oh, here we go. Oh, my days. Shall I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to say to God, we love you. We love you for all that you are to us. We want to say we're really thankful that we belong to you. We're really thankful that you are our God. Something's gone totally wrong. Let's just leave it behind. So, Johnny had given three offerings. Number one, to say sorry for the things that he'd done and to receive God's forgiveness. Number two, he'd given a grain offering to say thank you for the provision that God had given to him. Number three, he'd given a fellowship offering with his mum and dad to say thank you that God was their God, that they belonged to him. And there was a fourth offering they had to offer. And this came about because one night, Johnny and his whole family, so I'm talking about uncles and aunts and grandma and granddad and the whole shebang, they were all there having a family get-together. They were around the campfire, having a great time together, eating some beautiful quail sandwiches, and just enjoying each other's company. And when it got a bit later, they'd done their rendition of the Old Testament version of Kumbaya, whatever that was. They'd sang their campfire songs, and they turned to one of the oldest men in their family, Uncle Albert, right? Definitely got to be Uncle Albert, this one. And Uncle Albert was the Pete Cole, right, of their family. He was the storyteller. He's the one who could tell a story and everyone would be hooked from start to finish. And so Uncle Albert was kind of in his Old Testament deck chair, and he was about to doze off, as old people do. He was about to snore, and one of the grandchildren kind of jumped him in, as they do, and said, "Uncle Albert, before we go to bed, can you tell us a story?" And Uncle Albert said, "Yeah, of course I can. What story do you want to hear?" And the grandchild said, "Well, we want to hear about back in Egypt when God rescued us from there." And so Uncle Albert started right at the beginning. He talked about how these nasty pharaohs had risen up and started treating the people of Israel terribly. He talked about the awful stuff that was happening to them. And then he started to talk about Moses and the story of how Moses saw a bush that was burning but not burning up. And God told him to come and rescue the people. He talked all about the plagues, and he went through all the stuff that had happened. Uncle Albert was old enough to have been in Egypt. And so he talked about this time when there was a frog in his sandal and almost put his foot on it and squashed it. He told all the whole story about all that God had done. And then he talked about when Pharaoh had finally let them go. And they were walking away from Egypt. They were walking away to freedom, they thought. And you know, Uncle Albert had this way of just making the situation come alive. And he started talking about how they'd reached the Red Sea. And in front of them was this massive kind of barrier of water. And then to the side of them was mountains, and the other side was mountains, and they were kind of stuck, and they had to turn around. But when they turned around, they saw off in the distance this huge cloud of dust. And they realized that was the Egyptians. Pharaoh had changed his mind again and was chasing after them. And he built the tension up, right, as a good storyteller can. What are they going to do? How are they going to escape? How are the people going to get past these barriers that are all around them? They can't go back now because the Egyptians are there to capture them. What are they going to do? And everyone was there kind of tense, getting into it, wondering what's going to happen. They all knew the story, but still, he was such a great storyteller that they were wondering, how's this going to play out? And Uncle Albert told of how Moses had... All God had told Moses to do was stretch out his staff over the water. And he told of that amazing sight that he'd seen, of the water just kind of blowing to the side. And this being this massive patch of dry land, path of dry land all the way through the sea. And he talked about how nervous they'd been as they'd been walking through the water. Well, what if the water comes down and crushes us? What if the Egyptians catch up with us before we get to the end? And he talked about the relief of how they got to the other side. And then the waters had come crashing down and their enemy was gone. They were free. They didn't have anything more to fear. No more slavery. No more hard work. No more chains. And as he was telling that part of the story, everything kind of went quiet. And Johnny especially went quiet. And as Uncle Albert looked around the circle of people around him, he kind of looked in Johnny's eyes and he saw there were tears in Johnny's eyes. And he looked at him and he said, Johnny, why are you crying? This is the best story in the world. This is how we were set free. This is why we're out here today. And Johnny said, do you know what? For the first time, I think I realize that now. Without God parting the Red Sea in front of us, I'd still be in Egypt. Without God making a way where there didn't seem to be any way, I'd still be a slave. I'd be working hard today, building buildings with bricks that I can't even lift, working from dawn till dusk with no break. I'd still be a slave, wouldn't I? And Uncle Albert turned to Johnny and said, Johnny, yeah, without God, you wouldn't be free. Without him saving you, you'd be still in slavery. And Johnny went to bed that night and he couldn't really sleep. He just realized how amazing that story really was. Before, he just thought it was a good story. But now he realized, this is amazing. If it wasn't for God, I might even be dead right now. And in the morning, Johnny went to see old Uncle Albert. And he said to him, Albert, that story you told last night, I get it now. I get how important that story is. I get what God has done for us. And he said, surely there must be something I can do. I've got to do something in response to that story. I've got to do something to show how much I'm grateful for what God has done. And Uncle Albert said, Johnny, there is one. There's one last offering. I know you've given a few other offerings, but there's one more offering. And it's the burnt offering, if it comes up on the screen. There we go. It's the burnt offering. You see, the burnt offering was different to all the rest of the offerings. In many of the other offerings, you would kind of put some stuff on the altar and burn it up, and the rest would be given to the priest to eat, or you'd have a fellowship meal together for the fellowship offering. On the sin offering, some of the stuff would be taken outside of the camp and burnt as a symbol of the fact that sin separates you from the camp. But in the burnt offering, here's what happened. You take your offering, and you would get all of it. The whole lot, and you would put all of it on the altar. Nothing would be saved, nothing would be set to the side, nothing left, and you would burn the whole lot. And as that offering burnt, there would be a beautiful smell rising up to God. And here's the picture of the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to say this, to say, I'm all in. Everything is for God. Nothing kept back, nothing to the side, nothing saved, nothing kept back for myself, all given to him. And as Jim put so well last week, that is the only response, isn't it, to what God's done? Because he's done more for us than just saving us from Egyptians. He saved us from sin, from death, and from hell. And so the only response we can give is to say, everything, everything for you, God, because he's worthy of that. I hope you see how Johnny's four offerings relate to us today. You and me needed a way that we could be forgiven, just like Johnny did. That guilty, knotty feeling in your stomach when you've done something you know you shouldn't have done. And God's made a way, not by us offering offerings, but by him offering his son, Jesus, to die in our place, so we could could be completely forgiven. Still, everything we have is a gift from God, isn't it? Everything we have is a gift from God. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have food on the table today. You wouldn't even have the clothes on your back right now. You don't have the roof that's over your head. You'd have nothing if it wasn't for him. So let's be thankful to him. We get to belong to the family of God. And here's the amazing thing. We get to be even closer to God than they did back then. They were grateful for belonging to God, but we're grateful that we can call him Father, that we can go into his throne room, right up to his throne, and to talk to him, to have fellowship with him. The Bible says that Jesus knocks on the door of churches, doesn't he? Churches that might have shut him out. He knocks on the door and he says, I want to come eat with you. I want to come have fellowship with you. I want to be close to you. And lastly, the only proper response to all that God has done for us is to be all in. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for the fact that you are a God who never changes. And though the way that you deal with people changes, you're still the same. You're a God who's full of love and compassion. Lord, quick to forgive, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. You're a good God. And thank you that we get to enjoy all of those blessings from you. Thank you that you've made a way that we can be made clean. Without that, we could never come close to you. Thank you that you paid the ultimate price so that we could be washed clean, forgiven of everything we've ever done wrong. Lord, we all know deep down that we need that desperately. Thank you that you've given that for us. Thank you that you bless us with many other things in this life. Thank you for all the stuff we get to enjoy day by day. Thank you for the fact that we can call you Father. Thank you that you come and live with us. You're not a God who's afar off. You're a God who's close. Help us to share fellowship with you, I pray, in very real ways, day by day. And Lord, we ask, as the only appropriate response to what you've done for us is to give everything back, that you'd help us to do that. Lord, we know it's hard. We know there's times and parts of our lives that we want to hold back. But Father, help us. Give us the grace we need to give it all to you for your glory, so that you would be lifted high in each one of our lives. Lord, again, thank you for this time today. Thank you for our church family here together. Thank you for all your good gifts. Lord, just speak to us through these truths, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.